And welcome to Game Store Profits, where we talk about God, gaming, and creeps. I'm your host, Daniel Fisher, and along with me today, I have the one, the only, the illustrious T.R. Knight. Yeah! T.R.
Am I shiny? You said I'm illustrious. Am I?
You are shining like a well-polished D20.
That's just my receding hairline. So how you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing all right. It's Wednesday night, the normal night that we record this, and just got back from church, and I'm doing pretty good.
Well, sorry I missed last week, but, you know, life calls, like yeah, you said, getting happens. Back from things. I just decided to stay at work.
So you just got back from work?
I just did, tonight. I've been there for the whole past 2 weeks.
I've been wretched HDMI cables.
Yeah, you know, it's how life goes. But, you know, hey, it's fun.
Wait, who's the, huh?
Hey guys, what'd I miss?
Well, Jeff, you missed the intro.
Oh. Yep. I tried to get here as fast as I could.
You almost missed podcast 186.
What?
Oh, is that the right number? Okay. Did I pick
guys,
the right number?
Now,
without you here, I'm not even sure.
Yes, it is. It's episode 186. But you realize we have 14 more episodes before episode 200. And there's been talk in the tavern about what we should do about this.
What do you mean, what we should do about this? Aren't we going to have, like, some kind of extravaganza where we, like, all play guitar or something?
Well,
or...
I was thinking, and I don't know how well y'all
I think it's time for our cooking episode.
Yes, cooking! Because T.R. Knight makes the best breads and cookies ever. Oh.
Mike Perna would love us to have a cooking episode.
Oh, I know he would.
So we could actually, like, have cameras set up in our respective kitchens.
Yes.
And we could be cooking different aspects of a particular meal.
I could make my chicken wings. My Seraph and Angel wings from Magic the Gathering. Anyway, no, seriously though.
Before people... we get way down that chicken trail.
Yeah, let's stop that. Let's stop that.
People have been thinking about, some people have suggested a live episode. Some people have, namely myself, have suggested us playing a game on Steam like Ticket to Ride and answering questions live from people. And do a video.
Not bad.
Ooh.
I like that.
A live episode.
We should do a poll in the tavern.
Yeah. Now, we haven't decided, so that's what we'll do. We'll get a poll up and make it to where people can add options as well. And we'll see what everybody wants us to do. As long as it doesn't involve vulgarity or nudity, we're pretty much okay with it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So, Jeff, how you been doing?
Oh, well. I am... I'm okay.
You're okay?
I'm okay. Yeah. Work's been insane. Absolutely insane. I've had to cut back my gaming to about once a week, which is really saddening.
Just once a week.
Just once a week. I know. People outside are shocked. That's so much. But for me, I'm trying to get prepped. I'm trying to kind of get my creative juices flowing, that sort of thing. So I think it, other than that, it's fine. Everything is in that regard is okay. I'm not too sold on the whole working 50 to 60 hours a week, but it keeps a roof over our heads, and I just kind of move forward with that.
But didn't God say we're going to earn our ways by the sweat of our brow?
Well, I'm doing it by the sweat of my hairy knuckles. I don't know if that counts.
Well, it's been 90 degrees here, so I've just been sweating.
No,
so it's the way it goes. Well, you may not have been gaming, but
no.
I think we have a segment that we're supposed to do that talks about games
that we do
in every episode. That old thing. You know, that would have probably been a more fun name than what we call it.
We could call it Archive Dive Subtext
That Old Thing.
Yeah.
Mike's going to love this.
I'm going to pull out a true out of the old. You guys like to say old and it's like a year old. You guys just, like, you make me feel like I'm really old on the podcast when I'm thinking, wait, a year old game? That's not old. Let's truly dive into the archives. Let's see. I recently acquired, because I've always wanted to play it, I finally picked up, a game called Mystery of the Abbey. It came out originally in 1995.
Isn't that a French game?
It was a French game, yes. 1995 came out in France. 1996, Days of Wonder released it. And then my version's from 2012. So even my version still is older than most of the games that you guys have talked about.
I'm trying not to be offended, but continue.
Youngin. So, Mystery of the Abbey, here's my thing. You guys are probably the same. We all probably did. We all grew up playing Clue. Clue is like one of those games.
I love Clue.
Clue's fun, but Clue, especially as you get older, it's not as challenging. Plus, there's the annoying thing. If you guess wrong, you're just done.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. I do like murder mysteries. I love watching the different murder mysteries and the shows. One of my favorite books is a book called The Name of the Rose by Umberto Eco.
Nice.
So, here's where these come together. Mystery of the Abbey is by Bruno Feduti. It is a Clue-like game, and the best way I can describe it is Clue meets Name of the Rose. To the point, even the opening text talks about Brother Adelmo having an accident, and is it murder or not? And that's who actually died in the book/movie. And I've read some stuff on the forums where Bruno has kind of admitted that that was part of his inspiration for the game. Even the artwork looks like it's from Name of the Rose, because the whole murder is happening at an abbey. You're the monks. You're going around talking to each other. What I like about it, though, with Clue, you've played it a lot. It's pretty similar. You get kind of one guess and you're done. Here you can guess things like, you know, who did it, or maybe who possibly did it, like kind of groups of monks. So you can guess they have hoods, they have beards, they're bald, they're skinny. You have multiple guesses in this game, and each one gains you or loses you points, but they don't kick you out of the game by making the guess.
That seems pretty interesting.
Is there any cooperative element, or is it all competitive?
No, it is competitive. And like Clue, you can go ask each other questions. So you can go up to another monk and go, so, how many Franciscans have you eliminated? You can look at how many hooded monks have you chosen? You can have these different things you're choosing. So you go around the map, just kind of like Clue. You can find there's locations, but now each location has special abilities. So one of them gets you special cards that get you another turn. One area gets you hidden abilities. One gets you reactionary cards. One lets you pick up more clues, because you take so many cards out based on the number of players and set them aside that no one has yet. So if you go to this place, you can get another card that no one has and put it in your deck. And then at the end of each round, it really gets into the monastic elements of how the game works. So as you're playing through, you actually go through the different rooms. Like, it has them in Latin. So the Ecclesia, the Confessorium. So it has everything in Latin, which is great fun. You actually have Mass that you have to go to. And when you go to Mass, it brings you all back together. If you get in trouble, you have to do penance. So when you make incorrect things in the game, there's penance. It's very thematic, but it totally feels like Clue. Like, the fun of Clue, the trying to guess who did it, the whodunit kind of it, is all there. The excitement of Clue's there, but now it's got this deep theme of running around a monastery, but it's got a great game mechanic. It was designed by Bruno Feduti. So, I mean, it's got some really good mechanics and working how you work through the game and how you share cards. And the game accelerates. After every round, you all have to share so many cards. And the further you go in the game, the more cards you have to share.
So it's kind of becomes an avalanche of evidence that eventually somebody will kind of pick up.
Right. And then you have to rush to one place. So unlike Clue, where you can guess whenever you want, in this game, once you know, you have to get to a certain location to make your guess.
But see, we have house rules for Clue. So we make sure you have to get into that room before you can guess.
Yeah. And that's kind of what this does. But I just thinking, part of what fascinates me with the Archive Dive, anybody who follows me on Twitter or Facebook will know, I'm getting really into older games. I'm doing a lot of trading to get games that are a lot older, because I'm fascinated by how well old games still play. And to take a game like this, which, you know, if you talk about things like King of Tokyo is kind of Yahtzee. You know, it's got elements of it. You talk about other games that take old elements. Well, this is Clue reimagined. It's a new version of Clue. So if you like Clue, if you like murder mysteries, if you like a game that has more mechanics, you might try Mystery of the Abbey. I was very pleased with it.
I'm going to have to look that one up, because that was actually recommended Mysterium, because I like Clue. Oh. Didn't like Mysterium.
Couple things I noticed about this. I'm going to note it here. Number one, you had 3 degrees of separation, 3 more to get to Kevin Bacon. So I'll notate that. The other one I noticed that it is not going to be possible for it to be Mr. Romo with the mechanical keyboard in Cubicle 7. So
very true.
That cannot be a murder suspect. But other thing, though, that I really like is the connection to Name of the Rose. One of my favorite game sessions that I set up, it was like a five-part series that I set up that was based on that. It was set up with a priory out in the boondocks looking for a murder. Yeah, oh, this is...
Oh, and I love the movie. I love the book. The book's amazing, too. Just side note here. If you're really looking for a good fiction book to read that has some interesting historical aspects, the book delves heavily into the heretical movements of the time period. So it really gets into the different discussions of heretics. It also gets into the Benedictine and Franciscan debate about the poverty of Christ. So it's one of these, it's historical fiction, but it really delves into a lot of what was going on politically and stuff during that time period. And as a movie, hey, if you like Sean Connery, it's a good Sean Connery movie.
Well, that's like saying, I mean, come on, any movie. Well, I don't know. Is every movie Sean Connery's in good?
No.
Entrapment.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that came to my mind too.
Avengers.
As soon as I was saying it. Oh, wait, what?
The Avengers. The
oh, man, I oh, love
no,
that.
No, 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 no.
Okay,
that was great.
Parts of that movie's fun, but the giant teddy bear villains and... it's fun, though. I still watch it. I get a kick out of the movie, but yeah, it's not one of his best movies.
No, it's not. It's not.
So, but there's my archive dive. We're going to... I'll keep challenging you guys to get games older than 1 to 2 years.
Sure. We'll talk about it.
Well, here's the thing is, if you're not playing those kind of games, you're missing out.
I'm going to cry now.
And I think that's a beautiful segue.
What? That was a segue?
We're going to drive it right through into the next topic.
That was a personal transport device.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Isn't that a segue?
Well, no,
that
was a segue. You know what was this past weekend?
I don't know. I missed it. What was it?
Dragon Con.
Yep.
And I was looking, you know, that was really one of my first cons I ever went to. And I've devised myself to never go back. But I was looking at pictures because I missed it. I was missing out. I was like, man, all my friends are there and I'm not there. What am I missing out on all the fun?
I felt that way when you were at Dragon Con. Not Dragon Con, Gary Con last year.
Oh, I know.
And now you guys are going to go and I'm going to miss it and I'm sad.
Don't be sad.
You're going to feel that way again.
I am.
That's not fair. But then again, you know what? I get that way with Gen Con. And especially when I see the pictures that you guys post up in the tavern. I love seeing all the regulars getting together and being able to hang out and play some games and break bread together. It's, man, I get that. What's that stuff called? FOMO? Fear of missing out?
FOMO, yeah. The fear of missing out.
Yeah.
I get it bad, especially when I'm, like this last couple of weeks, like being, or actually it's been a long time, but working 50, 60 hours a week and you get home and you're just exhausted and you don't want to do anything. But then I flip through Twitter and I flip through Facebook and I see, you know, some, you know, good friends like y'all, like getting a chance to play a game. And it's like, man, I would love to just roll some dice with these guys and get back online and do some gaming. But it's just, I'm so exhausted. I have no time.
I gotta tell you, the FOMO runs deep in my life. I mean, there's canyons in my life dedicated to FOMO. And like, and I'll tell you this, like.
Well, you mentioned that some on last episode.
Yeah, and we've talked about games before. I mean, it even translates into dice, okay? So, like, I mentioned games last year in limited runs, but, like, there's dice companies now that will put out a set of dice 1 week, and the next week they won't. I mean, these are boutique dice. They won't put out that same combination of glitter / coloring in the die for months and possibly never again. And it's just something that, you know, you're looking at this like, man, there's only 5 sets left, but it's $40. I don't know if I want to, oh my goodness, those look epic. And that's an issue with that. Plus, I've had this problem at church before because I wanted to be so connected with everybody at church. And I didn't want friendships to develop that I couldn't be part of. I would sign up for a lot of crap.
I want to be in that small group. I want to be in that small group.
I want to go over there and help with that building going getting built. I want to go sweep this
You know. Y'all clean up that school, I'll be right there.
Yeah. It is fear of missing out.
And you deal with it too. Like, for those of you who have followed me and we've talked about before, my wife has multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. And as a caregiver, I kick into FOMO when it comes to, I wish I could be out gaming with the guys. I wish I could go out to a movie. There's, you know, I see my friends out doing stuff. And it affects me personally. I mean, FOMO is a real feeling. I mean, it's not really been declared from like DSM-IV or anything, you know, any of these psychological things. But they'll talk about it's anxiety inducing. You know, it's a type of anxiety. And as gamers, I think we feel it a lot because things like you said, Gen Con has just happened. Dragon Con. We've got Essen coming up in October. We've got PAX Unplugged coming in November. We got BGG Con coming. Today, the Dice Tower West in Las Vegas sold out in one day.
One day?
One day. I'm not surprised.
Oh my gosh.
But the idea is we do. We, in our lives, in our hobbies, we get this concept, and this is where this term's come from, FOMO, and I did some reading. Apparently, the first person to coin that was an author named Patrick McGinnis. He posted it in an op-ed in the Harbis, I think is how you pronounce it. It's Harvard's Business School magazine. And he was talking about the social life in schools. And I work in higher ed. And I've seen that. Even my daughters. I have college-age daughters who will talk about like, man, that was cool that they were doing. I wish I had been there. And if you just wish, that's one thing. You know, hey, that's kind of cool. My friends are doing it. But there are times you'll especially see on social media, you'll see people talking about it. It actually affects people. I mean, emotionally and physically, like, I can't believe I'm not there. This is terrible. And some people will go out of their way to figure out how to be a part of it. Or the next year, they'll overspend their budget to make it to some kind of an event. So I think FOMO is one of these things we joke about. You know, it's got FOMO, F-O-M-O, that term for fear of missing out. But I think it is something we deal with in life. Whether it's church or personal or gaming or seeing things on social media. So I thought that's why, especially when you mentioned it in the last podcast, I experienced it. You've experienced it. I even experienced it when I was at Gen Con. I mean, I am at Gen Con.
You're already there, dude.
I know, but that's why I said I had to like virtually slap myself while I was there because I was seeing people talk about events they were at. You know, they were off doing something and thinking, oh, man, I should have done that. And you're like, what? Wait a minute. I'm already here. There's more that I can possibly do here.
Well, there's too much to do at Gen Con. It'll drive you insane.
But that's just it. Why did I feel that way? You know, I'm already here. I'm enjoying the thing everybody else wishes they were at. I mean, that's one reason Gen can't exist as a hashtag and actually an event now. You can attend Gen can't online and win games and have game contests and play games with people because people were missing out and wanted to experience Gen Con in some way.
And it's, how do we delve back into where this comes from, like within us? Like, what are some of the things that, like in our childhood maybe, or even, you know, in these later years that has kind of spurred that feeling or created it a little bit more? I mean, for me, I have to say, like, I know it's kind of a go-to for a lot of people, especially in my generation or later, is you're looking at social media and you're seeing some of the things that people are getting up to, right? I mentioned it before, you know, jumping on Facebook, seeing you guys at Gen Con and just like, oh man, I wish I was there. But it also, you see the advertisements. Daniel, you mentioned the dice, right? Seeing these dice, there's only a limited run and they're posting it, you know, there's a Kickstarter and if you get in on this game now while it's in Kickstarter and you get in on it, you're going to get a special board that's covered with gold and, and freckles of diamonds. I mean, it's just,
I think part of it is our interconnectivity. Yeah. And the reason being is like, okay, so, and I was actually having a conversation, with my pastor about this the Sunday. And Saturday, my wife threw me my 40th birthday party.
Okay. Happy birthday.
And it was 1990s themed. I get there. She's got all my favorite candy from when I was in high school. She's got my favorite pizza from when I was in high school. Everything looked like Saved by the Bell puked everywhere. I mean, they even bought me a pair of black Doc Martens.
Doc Martens.
If nothing screams the 90s other than Doc Martens and flannel, I don't know.
That dials it in right there. and the Saved by the Bell puke.
But in on the way back to the car at the park, you know, I was carrying the baby, and I was starting to think about what really is different from me than from me in the 90s. And it was my cell phone, my smartphone. Because during the 90s, you know, when you say you're going to go over to your buddy's house, right? Well, when you're there, you're there. You're with your friend, whether you're playing video games, board game, or anything. But, like, now we go to our friend's house. We might be sitting there chatting on the couch, but we both have our smartphones out. We're flipping through people's pictures, and we see, oh, man, they're at the park, and they're playing frisbee golf. We could be doing that right now. Or oh, man, this guy's playing this game that we don't have yet. We need to go get... I mean, I personally think it's related back to cell phones because we you know, it's different than flipping through a physical catalog trying to sign up for an event at Gen Con when you know exactly what you want to do other than flipping through people's pictures and seeing that you missed out on something that was way cooler than playing Dragon Raid.
There's nothing cooler than that. How dare you?
Well, and cell phones, I mean, I think social media and stuff can exacerbate it. I mean, we talk about that kind of stuff. It makes it worse. But to be honest, the old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side.
See, there you go.
Even where, think about when we were, like, when I was kids. You know, back when I was young.
Back in my day, you whippersnapper.
We had to pay quarters to use the phone.
I had a Commodore 64, and my cousin had a Commodore 128.
Oh, yeah?
I was envious. You know, and you can't, like, I remember I had a cassette drive at first, and he got the floppy drive. And I was like,
get out of here.
But the idea is, yes, social media and or smartphones probably can make it worse. But even when we didn't have those, even if we're not using them now, it's, I think a lot of it has to do with our natures. We always are striving for that next best thing. You know, whether it's more money in life, a new car, that next relationship, like you're talking about even church things, like, oh, I really want to be in that small group. And so I think a lot of it is we, sadly, many of us aren't content. And it's that lack of contentment. And that's where social media just feeds that, when you can constantly see what everybody else is doing. And so, as I said, I don't think it causes it. I think it just feeds into that. And other things do, too. It's seeing the pictures from someone's trip, you know, growing up, the old slideshows. You know, you went to the Grand Canyon. Oh, I went camping. You know, it's like, you're like, wait a minute. But camping was fun. I had so much fun. And I think that's, I think when we're not content in what we have in life, content with what God's given us, I think that's when FOMO kicks in. Because we're trying to fill some void. Whether it's an emotional, a physical, whatever, FOMO, that anxiety is because we're trying to fill a hole for some reason.
And that can, that impacts our gaming, that impacts our everyday life. And you know, and in particular with our hobby, it translates to, you know, the next game. You get comfortable within a particular rule set. Let's say, whether it's a particular type of board game or whether it's a particular type of RPG, and then all of a sudden a new rule set comes out. You know, we talked about last week, Pathfinder playtest is going through right
which
now.
Which I don't like. Know.
We got to that. Okay. But in the midst of all that, you set up a time to roll together some characters. You and Sean Brooks got together and hopped on the Twitch channel, and I missed out. I wanted to go. I wanted to play, and I'm just like, oh man, I've got this and that and the other thing to do, and I'm sitting there wanting to do that.
Well, we still haven't had our play yet, so you can still create your character and join in for the play.
I most likely will not.
But you want to, because you don't want to miss out.
I don't want to miss out. But you know what? I think TR, you hit a good point there. I mean, it goes back to contentment. Being content with, you know, the situation that you're in, being content with the knowledge that you have, the experiences that you've had. It doesn't go so far as saying you shouldn't strive for something new, that you shouldn't want to hang out with your friends or want to be part of something that's going to broaden your horizons, but it's not doing it at the sacrifice of what you're doing currently.
Well, yeah. But have you noticed that as you get older, DR, that the hold and grip that...
Wait. You cited TR on that. When you get older, comma, TR.
Well, because TR is the one it's generally having this main part of this conversation. He's the one engaging us in this conversation about FOMO. And you know, we all know I'm the baby in the podcast.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I'm just going to leave that there. Leave it there, guys. For all you listening, Daniel. I am the youngest right here recording right now. But don't you notice that as you get older, the claws of the dreaded FOMO monster lessen their grip a little bit? I mean, because we get older, we get more... I've been noticing that in the last 2-3 years of my life. And, you know, like this last year at Gen Con, like, it really didn't hit me that hard this year because, one, I was there as a man on a mission. And, you know, I had to keep my mind on my goal. But still, I mean, I had money. It's not like I couldn't go out and spend it, you know, but...
Right.
It just, it's like it didn't grab a hold of me this year as bad.
Well, and I think, you know, today we've got, because we have to acronym everything, we have FOMO now. But before that, you would hear things like the tyranny of the new.
Yeah.
You always had to have the next game. Advertising. I mean, just look at marketing. You need that new car. You know, that new car smell. There's always, I mean, the whole purpose of advertising and marketing is to get you to realize you want the next one. You know, the one you have right now is not the one you want. So that refrigerator you have is not the refrigerator you want. It's the next one. And I mean, that's marketing does that. Advertising does that. We don't do it on purpose, but our friends and family do that. You know, I mean, that's that idea of, you know, that contentment versus jealousy, that contentment versus frustration. So I think... Yes, and as you get older, I think part of where the age part of it is, you know, as really little kids, you've not experienced everything. So everything is new to you as a really young kid. Then as you get a little older, you start getting where you compare your Hot Wheel to their Hot Wheel. You know, your G.I. Joe figure to their G.I. Joe figure. Your Barbie doll to the next Barbie doll. I mean, you start, as you get older, there gets becoming, see, I don't care if it was your kid, you start trading things, and then your parents would get mad because you made a bad trade, and you're like, no, you have to take that back, and things like that.
You don't understand, Mom. Snake Eyes is way better than Storm Shadow. You bought me Storm Shadow.
Yeah. But that idea, I think, but as we get older, I don't know if it's as much contentment as we understand better.
Right.
You know, you've just dealt with a lot more, and... You start realizing what's more important is relationships and everything. And I think that's how you have to look at FOMO and that tyranny of the new, the feeling of being left out, is how do you deal with that? And there's different ways of getting into that and looking at it. And I think one of the big ones is, and we kind of start getting this, is be content. But even more specific is be content and happy for your friends.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they're doing, be excited for them. They're there. They're doing things. And I think if we can be content and excited for other people, that's where it starts becoming exciting. Because now you enjoy them. You're in the moment with them, not envious of their moment.
Right.
And I think that's kind of where you just start the whole thing is just... As you start looking at how do I combat that when people are going to be at Essen, which I keep dreaming of going to someday, and you guys are going to go to Gary Con, and I'm not. you know, and even the little things, like some friends of mine went and saw a movie recently that I wanted to see, and I didn't go. And you're just like, well, you know what? I've also owned a whole bunch of movies that are behind me you guys can't see, but I have lots of movies. I like movies. I miss one movie. Oh, you know what? There are a lot more.
And you'll buy it when it comes out on DVD?
Yeah, I probably will.
Or at least rent it
at
Blockbuster. Oh, too soon.
There is one Blockbuster still.
One left.
One left.
Just one, Oregon. You win.
So for you guys, being special, how do you, as you feel FOMO or that, you know, being left out feeling, how do you combat it?
I can't be everywhere at once.
Yep.
I just, I just can't. There's this thing that I know through, and I'll be frank, through therapy and through working with that, working with friends like y'all and talking with people in my sphere of influence, as broad or as small as it may be, there's this element of my anxiety that stems from being a burden bearer. And by burden bearer, I mean, I just take on too much. I have that element of fear of missing out because I want to be part of something. And Daniel, you hinted at this about signing up to do much at church. But at the same time, I also want to help. I want to exist on that plane where I'm helping others. Because if I'm spending time helping others, I'm not thinking about the problems that I have. And in a way, it's kind of it's how I turtle up, and I protect myself from whatever anxieties I'm feeling, is I try and get involved with more and more things. But then I compound my anxiety because now I realized, oh my gosh, I've got about 75 hours worth of stuff to do in one day, and there's no way I'm going to get it done. So it's just, I think it's taking a step back and realizing you can't be everywhere at once. You just can't.
Well, with me, as I was telling y'all beforehand, I officially removed Facebook and Reddit from my cell phone. So
gone.
During those times when, you know, I'm quiet at lunch or, you know, sometime during the day, or when I'm sitting here on the couch with my wife, I don't flip my phone open and start scrolling through Facebook. And that helps out a lot. It really does. But the other thing for me is I slowed down a lot. You know, I've got priorities, and then I have to concentrate on those. Like this, beginning of the school year means my kids are back in school, means Scouts is back up. So I'm now planning for Scout events and things like that. But, you know, it's kind of keeping me busy a little bit, but it's also taking time for the things that really matter compared to whether or not I got the new expansion for Zombies or King of Tokyo or something like that. And, you know, my version of Machi Kuro plays just fine compared to six-player versions or, you know, Bright Lights Big City. I could still have fun with my version, and I don't have to buy the newest and greatest anymore. So,
well, I think that goes along with what we said, too. It's trying to realize the things that you own and you do are already amazing.
Yeah.
You know, don't forget in the moment that, you know, like my daughters go to the college where I work. That's a benefit. I mean, it's a blessing stuff. But I love that I get to see them. You know, they'll walk by and they say hi to me. You know, not all parents
Dad,
get a chance.
Stop talking to us. No, I'm just kidding.
I get that sometimes too. But the idea is, I have this amazing blessing that I still see my kids when they're in college. You know, just once or twice a week, they'll go by, say hi, Dad, whatever, and that's a big deal. I have a game collection. Do I have thousands of games? No. But do I have a lot of games and I'm happy with them? Yes. Yeah. It's like, I don't even call my shelf the shelf of shame. That's one of the terms I don't like. I call mine the shelf of potential. Because I've got another game to play. I mean...
Well, you actually just went through a parsing down.
I'm still calling.
Say. Yeah, you're still calling.
Well, because to me, that was part of what I realized. And this, Daniel kind of mentioned too. Gen Con for me this year, I didn't pick up as much. I got a lot of non-game things. I got like patches and a t-shirt and everything. Because I realized I got a lot of games already. I got a lot of things to play. I care more about the time playing them with my wife, playing them with my friends. And I'm trying to figure out, I need to play the games I have with everybody and be happy that I'm playing them. And that's...
You're realizing the amazing things you have already.
Yeah, in the same way. Right. I was at Gen Con. Yeah. That's great. I play games with friends. I've got a regular gaming group. That's as regular as we ever actually get together. it's supposed to be weekly.
I'll just call it regular.
We call it regular. It's scheduled for weekly. You know, the idea of weekly is really kind of a misnomer. But the idea is, I have an amazing group of friends that I consider my brothers that I get to sit with. I have another group that's getting ready to probably start up that are friends from work. And that's fun. And you're thinking, I've got these amazing things. And I think that's one of the things that helps fight FOMO is realize what's already amazing in your life and cherish that And then you don't get as worried about the thing you're not doing. Like you said, I could be adding 10 more gaming groups during the week. I don't know when I would do them. And so it's like there's all these other things I could be doing, but I'm not appreciating the thing I am doing already.
As new games come out, one of the first things that I'll ask myself is, well, okay, second thing. The first thing is, can I actually afford this, and can I get a digital copy? So the third thing, do I even want to play it? All right, so the fourth thing that I ask myself is that, am I even going to have time to bring this to bear? And, you know, who in my, again, my sphere of influence would be interested in this game? And then is there even the potential over the next, say, I give myself like a 6-month time frame, over the next 6 months, am I going to be able to bring this up? And if not, then I'll shelve it and I'll say, okay, if I come back to this and somebody else mentions it, I'll consider it again and we'll reevaluate at that time. But I mean, there's, all right, I'll get RPG nerd here. I'll do this because it's expected of me. I get it. But there's this thing in most game systems. I'll use, you know, Pathfinder and 5e as examples. There's this thing called an action economy, right? Mm-hmm. You get a move action, you get a swift action, you get a free action, you get a attack action or standard action. So all of these things that equate to a certain amount of movement that you can do within a particular round of combat, let's say. So 6 seconds is usually the average time span. So what can you do in those 6 seconds, right? Well, I can attack, and then I can do a 5-foot step, or then I can do a swift action and reload my cross, you know, whatever it is. So it's, I kind of, when we brought up this topic, actually a couple weeks ago when we were first thinking about bringing it up, or a month ago now, I wanted to think of ways that I could create that kind of action economy in me. And obviously the first delineator is time, right? You know, I've got, you know, 8 to 10 hours in a given work day. I have time to and from work where I'm driving. I have time where I'm kind of relaxing at home. I've got time before I go to bed or when I wake up. I've got all these responsibilities that take up chunks of time. And then I've got a few move actions and swift actions I can kind of squeeze in there every so often. So it's identifying those things in our lives and saying, okay, here's my action economy. Here's the actual time that I have. And then to your point, Daniel, and TR, you brought this up, is prioritizing. Is fine, you know, what is important? You know, Boy Scouts are important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you need to make time. That's coming up. I, as part of that whole burden-bearing thing, I was involved in way too much. And my wife and I decided, you know what, we're going to take a season off from teaching children at BSF. And we're going to do that in exchange for the broader involvement we have with our global outreach ministry at church, and in exchange for the prep that I'm going to be doing for GaryCon. You know, Daniel keeps telling me I don't have to prep this much, but I'm going to do it. Gosh dang it, I'm going to do it.
Really, there is a thing of too much prep.
Okay, I get that, but I'm going to prep a whole bunch and then whittle it down into bite-sized pieces. That's going to happen. Come on.
No, I like that idea though of, not only are you prioritizing, you're realizing pieces. I like that action economy. It's the, I only have so much of me to go around. So which parts do I devote to certain things? Right. Like people ask, you know, how do I have time to do some of the things you see me do? Like I do gardening. I do canning and stuff. Like, well, how do you have the time to do that? You know, you're so busy with other stuff. Prioritize that because it gives me time to relax. It gives me time to appreciate something I've done. Same way gaming. Okay, I like to play games, but to be honest, the whole reason I game is to sit around the table with the guys that I game with.
Oh, yeah.
It's like this podcast. I was willing to come back to it, and it's hard. I have to set up time for this. But I do it because it gives me a time to spend with you. And it's time to talk to you guys about things, and we mull things. So whether anybody else listens to this or not, I enjoy it because it's a conversation where we think through life from a gaming perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to kind of get into this transition. You know, we're...
Wait. Are you making the turn?
I think he is. Oh, my goodness. We weren't prepped for this. I didn't roll my D20. Hold on.
You know, let's see how he did.
I got a natural 9. 9.
Hey, add 2 for boldness. So that's an 11. So that's a pass. That works.
The scripture talks about what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, different parts of scripture talk about do not be anxious and everything. But there's there's different ones, and I think the one I'm going to start with to kind of get us going is Philippians 4:19, where it states, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And the reason I want to start with that is kind of where we started, is that being content. So not only is it, we're going to talk about being content in our hobbies, being content with what games I own, whatever, we'll get into some other stuff, but it's the idea, part of that contentment is knowing God will provide everything we need if we follow him. And so that's that transition. Yes, that's our faith, but I think it fits into our hobbies and stuff too. Being content that things have already been provided to you. You've got your family, your friends, your health. I mean, is my family's health perfect? No. My wife is dealing with multiple sclerosis and stuff. I'm dealing with things that I have. And so, but God provides. He provides good doctors. He provides medicine. He provides, I'm my wife's caregiver. So he's provided me to her and that kind of stuff. So I think as we look at that FOMO and fear of missing out what others are doing, we have to be content in our own faith as well.
You have to be willing to take stock.
Yep.
I mean, you have to be willing to say that, you know what, if we truly believe that God is all over our lives, is in every, I think I put down in our notes, in every iota of our lives, every single little detail. I know there's that wonderful phrase, the devil's in the details. That's because you're panicking, you're looking for horrible things. But, you know, that's a different discussion. But I would like to posit that God is in the details. Because he's thought of every single thing that's going to impact your life and is going to be a part of your life. Even the things you're not even going to notice. And we're going to notice maybe 3%, if that, of God's plan in our lives. And in that 3%, in that place where we dwell, are amazing things to see, amazing things to witness, and amazing comfort to draw. So, yeah, noticing those details helps you to enjoy and be content with the things that you have. It helps you to prioritize as well, because you identify the important things in your life. You spot those things, whether it's family, whether it's, you know, a particular friend that's hurting. You know, this kind of frame of mind helps you to see with more godly eyes the kinds of things he wants you to see.
Yeah, and I think another scripture I like a lot in this, which talks more about the specifics, is Luke 12:15. Where it says, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness." Covetousness. I can't pronounce tonight. Covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And I think possessions is more than just physical things.
Yeah.
I think we got to be careful on how we treat friendships, relationships, our faith. So I think that's part of this. We have to look at all of those as possessions. They're all things that we are stewards of. And I think we got to be careful that we don't compare them to other people and we don't compare their experiences, their things. You know, we don't want to covet what they're doing, covet what they have, covet their health, covet their experiences. So I think that scripture opens up a lot more when you view possession as more than just a physical item on the shelf.
Well, I will pause it. And Daniel, you can speak in on this, please, because I know you have some good things to say about this. How do we covet time?
Oh man. So, me, having small children. Let me go from this.
Having the wee little ones roaming around the house.
Wait, there's a point in your life when you just go to the bathroom and lock the door. Just for 10 minutes. That's how we covet time. There's times when you're like, you know, it's 8:30 at night, and, you know, it's the kids' bedtime, and you're wanting to spend a little bit extra time with the wife, and you're just like, get to bed! Get upstairs and get to bed! If you come back down upstairs, you're not going to get to play Fortnite for a week! And the things we say to our children, because we want time, okay? Like, I imagine sometimes, like, man, I'd like to be able to stop time and take a nap, and my kids wouldn't even know it. I'd sleep for a week.
Like if we could turn back time?
No, just stop like it.
If we could
stop
find a way?
Shut up. But I mean, that's how I covet time, you know. And part of it, like, and I'll tell you this, my wife came up to me, and I last week, and it tore me up. It really did. And I'm gonna bear the heart. We've talked about child before, and you know, I would love another child, but if child four doesn't make a hey, I'm on my way before April, there's not gonna be a child four. Okay, because part of me feels like I'm getting too old to have children. Part of me feels that when I hit 60, I don't want to have to deal with a teenager in the house, because I'm going to start having grandkids show up, and I'll be able to spend time with my grand. And that is very selfish of me, but it's also me wanting to say, when I'm 60, I just want to be able to come home from work, sit down at my table, and paint miniatures.
And maybe when you're 60, realize that maybe you only have 5 years left till retirement.
Yeah, but that too, and but that's how I covet time, and to me, coveting goes back to selfishness, and I had to come to that. But like, my wife actually brought up adoption of a fifth child, and I was like, I don't know if I could do that. I feel like I'm getting old.
But yeah. It comes back to that what you talked about. It's right. The being content in the moment. It's that, you know, we worry about what we don't know.
Right.
And we don't have. And that's one of the things where scripture constantly talks about, that don't be anxious, don't worry, be content.
Yeah.
And that's hard. It is so hard, especially when we hit the hard times, when it's a health thing, when it's, I mean, those you can, it's like, people will be like, well, okay, we can accept that you're missing out, so it's making you anxious because you're dealing with health things. We understand you're between jobs and all this. But what's interesting is, I think, honestly, a lot of times FOMO and that discontent hits you the most when things aren't bad.
Hmm.
It's often when things are running well that you start thinking, well, you know, we're doing kind of well financially. We could, you know, or wow, you know, things are pretty stable. I could probably add that fourth game night.
I mean, we're all not, my buddy Chuck literally plays six D&D games a week. He has six a week, not a night.
A night. But it's that idea that we can't say that it's only in the worst of times that we're this way. We're the same way in our best of times. I mean, whether it's coveting time when we're, especially when our kids are younger, but then I'll tell you right now, go the other way. My kids are in college and I enjoy the times I get to spend with them, because I realize here before long, they're not going to be here. I'm an empty nester right now. I have two kids in college. Yes, I see them once or twice a week, so I'm not a true empty nester. But the aspect is, I'm starting to realize, wow, they were home for 18 years. I got used to this. Now, I will admit, I like only having to run the dishwasher every couple days and not doing as much laundry. And I can have a conversation with my wife at 5 o'clock when I come home.
Not yelling at homework.
I don't have to wait till 10 or 11. But the idea is, there are stages in our life, you know, seasons in our life, as the Bible says, and each one we have different versions of this. I mean, that you'll talk about the, you know, people struggling as they get older, you know, what are they, you know, they go for the more expensive toys and all this stuff, you know, midlife crisis is a really big version of FOMO.
Interesting theory there.
You know, it's
nine.
Yeah, it is. You're not content with your life. You want more. You want what everybody else has.
Recapture the time you lost that you didn't covet enough when you were younger.
Yeah. And I think that we just have to be careful of that, especially as Christians, because we're supposed to care for other people. You know, it talks about caring for the widows, caring for other people, honor your father and mother, be good parents. There's all these things about other people, and it doesn't say care about other people so you can have what they have.
No, that's not part of it.
It's not what the Bible says. Actually, it goes pretty specific about the things you're not supposed to have. That whole do not covets, you know, kind of in that top 10 listy thing.
It's like a 10. Everybody has a 10 list, don't they? Come on, top 10, everything.
Yeah. So to me, this is a topic, like I said, you hear FOMO a lot when it comes from geeks in gaming. But I think it's a topic that we all have to keep in mind, whether we use that term or not. A lot of people have never heard of FOMO, but they know what it is to be jealous. They know what it is to covet. They know what it is to be discontent. These are the times of our discontent. So
these are the days of our FOMO.
These are the days of our FOMO. So to me, that's the kind of stuff. It's just, it's a topic I thought we had to talk about because we're all going to feel it as we start seeing all the pictures from Essen and BGGCon and everything. We're going to see it. Yeah, you're not on Facebook. But that idea is, a lot of those things we're going to think about. And we're going to see it as we see other things. Christmas is coming up. You want to talk about the big time of the year that FOMO kicks in is Christmas. The holidays do that. So I just want to encourage everybody, you know, if you're listening, we kind of talked about our different things and kind of summarized them, you know, going back is be happier for your friends. Be happy for your family and what they do. Be happy in what you're doing and be amazed at what you get to do. I like what Jeff said about figure out your action economy to prioritize. You know, there's only so much of you to go around, and so don't overcommit. And that's hard. But I encourage people, keep yourself healthy. I mean, that's a big thing. We talk about this here, mental and physical and spiritual health. And this is a big part of that. That's where FOMO comes in.
Said. Very well said. I feel like I'm missing out on something right now.
Did we forget to talk about something?
I'm worried. Stressing. No.
I'm stressing about stressing. So next time we should talk about anxiety.
I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of it.
Game store psychologist. Yeah,
exactly. There you go.
That's the next version of our podcast.
There you go. Yeah. It comes with the prescription melatonin.
We can keep the same logo, GSP, not a problem.
I shall save a lot on our marketing. That's pretty good. Good idea. I like that. Well, we've drifted along this this river of broken dreams.
This river of discontent.
Riding our FOMO raft until it sinks. But as we get to this time and we think about everything that goes on in our lives, the things that we post about on a website, the things we post about in Twitter or in Facebook, that sort of thing, I like the idea of looking upon those posts of not so much missing out, but actually looking at what I get to glimpse in these people's lives. And to be happy about that, and to be happy about the situation that I'm in, or that we're all in, where we find God in the details, as opposed to anything else. And also realizing that ultimately, God is the game master, and no matter how the dice fall, the game plays on.
And welcome to Game Store Profits. I'm your crap. All right, sorry. Let me restart this.
I mean, editing that out.
Yeah, you better do it.
All right. We're having fun.